It is Friday, January 3rd, 2014. This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
I'm Timothy Dennis.
Katie Henriksen.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Jackie Froelich.
And this is the conclusion to our now traditional, I think we can call this a tradition, right? This is the third or fourth time we've done this?
Third year.
Of our favorite stories, a week devoted to our favorite stories and interviews and features that we hear parts of again on the program. We're going to start today with one of my favorite stories of the year. When Jackie, you spent some time with a guy who is amazing.
Sharon Crotty is amazing, too. She's the person. She's a school teacher over in Huntsville, and she's been bugging me to meet this man named Toby Bohannon. She said that he's a longtime employee at the school district. He serves as security guard and handyman, and he operates a concrete finishing business, and he's over 100 years old.
Yeah.
I went to meet him and shook his hand. It was the most powerful grip. Anyhow, I profiled him last September.
Watson Primary School in Huntsville's jammed with children this bright Wednesday morning. They're excited because they'll let out early today. Long lines of children guided by teachers past the school's maintenance man, Mr. Tobe Bohannon. When they spot him, many wave and smile. Some even stop for a hug. Mr. Tobe, they call him, is 100 years old.
Hi.
Hey, Mr. Tobe.
Hi, hon.
Tell me your name.
Noble B. Bohannon, born 1913, April 29th.
He laughs as he says it. Does seem impossible. Surviving the influenza epidemic of 1918 when he was just 5 years old, the Great Depression, two world wars, the industrial age, the space age, the digital revolution, 9/11, and whatever era we're in right now. Anyway, Mr. Bohannon shows up here every morning by 6:30 a.m.
And I unload the buses. Then after they're gone, and all the kids are in, I go around and lock all outside doors so nobody can get in, you know.
With chronic and violent school shootings, Huntsville School District, with 2,300 students, like all districts in America, is on guard. And they look to Mr. Bohannon for frontline security surveillance. He constantly roams the halls, checking doors and watching for any strange activity. His pace is not impaired. His eyesight and hearing are just fine. And his grip, incredibly strong. Principal Matt Cook says he's a valuable asset to the school.
Who is an example to all the kids. Kids look up to. He comes in every day, does his job. And obviously he's here for one reason, that's for the kids and the kids' safety, and make sure that they are all being taken care of every time he's around.
Mr. Bohannon's people settled Bohannon Mountain in Madison County back in the 1800s, but he was born at Rockhouse Community in Southern Carroll County to William Riley and Lillian Precia Harveston.
There was five of us kids. The youngest one was 3 years old, oldest one was 12, and I was next to the oldest one. Well, anyway, my mother, we had a milkman. They eloped and ran away, left us kids with my dad. So my dad raised us, five boys.
Young Noble dropped out of school at the age of 13 to help support the family, he said, in a rather unorthodox way.
Me and one of my cousins, he was older than me, and we had a horse and a buggy. And we took the upholstery loose around the buggy seat and wrapped the pints and half a pint of whiskey and put them down in there and drive to Eureka Springs. Sold whiskey out of the buggy.
Brewed from sparkling spring water, he said. Prohibition had shuttered all Eureka's saloons, so the young entrepreneurs found a robust market for their corn whiskey. While in Eureka, the young Noble found a legitimate job doing rock work with the local highway crew. He and his family also picked up seasonal migrant work, picking peaches, apples, and strawberries.
Well, we all worked at Springdale in the fruit harvest and whatever come along. But we got by pretty good.
His father eventually took a job with the railroad. Noble Tobe Bohannon married, bore a daughter, and left Arkansas for Southern California in 1936 at the age of 23 to build naval shipyards along the West Coast, then hired on as an electrical worker for the Navy. He and his wife separated. He stayed in L.A. doing construction, specializing in concrete work. By the 1950s, he helped build the now iconic modernist Tishman Plaza building on Wilshire Boulevard. Google it. It's very cool. His daughter by his first wife passed away at the age of 65. Toby met his current spouse, Barbara, in Los Angeles. She was working for American Airlines. She was catching the bus downtown when they encountered each other. They spoke and soon were married, he said. She was 29. He was 59. They have one son. And when Mr. Bohannon first moved back to the Ozarks from the West Coast, he did try to retire.
I was going to quit. I retired from the Finishers Union and got my unemployment and everything. I moved back here and I was going to quit. I built a new house in Marble on 40 acres. And it didn't go very big because I wanted to work.
Under the federal Green Thumb program, Mr. Bohannon got a job working for the Huntsville School District in the 1980s. He's been there ever since. Barbara also works here, too, at the elementary school as a substitute teacher. She's often reminded being out in public with Tobe so much that she's married to a novel figure.
It's true, you know, and he's seen a lot, and he's been a good provider, and yeah, and not many people, 100, have a 37-year-old son.
That 37-year-old son, Todd Bohannon, is a musician and manager for Ben Jack's Music Store in Bentonville. Noble Tobe Bohannon is a sight now. He takes no medicine, has never been hospitalized, he said, except for a bad appendix. He's trim and muscular. He sports a white mustache and a Huntsville school ball cap. He doesn't smoke or drink, but he laughs a lot, and he loves compliments.
I like for people to say, boy, you're in good shape for your age. I'll tell you this and that. There's nobody, I don't guess anybody around my age that does what I do and enjoys doing it for the people.
Get this, Noble Tobe Bohannon still does concrete finishing work. Mr. Bohannon takes us up a sloping sidewalk he poured years ago up the hill from the cafeteria. He engineered it as a conduit. Rainfall kept flooding the cafeteria below. It's been dry for years, he said.
And see how I fixed for the water to run down and around? We ain't had a drop in there since.
We head back inside, and along the way, another flock of children pass by, eager to say hello.
Get out here, look.
Last April, the Bohannon family, including a crop of great-great-grandkids, along with 100 friends, celebrated Tobe's 100th birthday with music, cake, and song. He's among 53,000 other centenarians, and the odds of becoming one are good. One out of every 26 baby boomers can expect to live to age 100. But sadly, those who do reach the century mark are often circumscribed by disability or illness. But remarkable elders like Mr. Noble Tobe Bohannon exemplify that living into our hundreds is not only possible, it can be a real pleasure.
That story aired earlier. Okay, next week, I promise not to. Yes, that's the last time. Right. That aired last year. Thank you, Katie. Christina, you talked to a gentleman who is in his 90s a couple times this year, most recently about his experiences in World War II.
Right, for Veterans Day.
But earlier in the year, you talked to him about a bit of Western Arkansas history.
Yes, Warren Blaylock is 92. He might be 93 by now. But, you know, you don't have an opportunity to talk to your elders that often. I mean, my grandparents have long passed, and I just find it very inspiring to hear these stories from 1920s and 1930s. And Warren remembers when Bonnie and Clyde spent some time in the River Valley.
And we had two brothers in Chester, Arkansas. Do you know where that is?
Mm-hmm.
Where is it?
Well, I mean, it's further down south on, like, I-40, right?
No.
No?
His talk on Sunday will be on the infamous Bonnie and Clyde. In 1933, when Blaylock was 12 years old, the duo spent 2 weeks in Fort Smith while Bonnie recovered from burns she endured from a car crash in Texas. Though he was young at the time, he paid close attention to what his elders were talking about. The early 30s were a gray time for many, but the stories of Bonnie and Clyde brought some color to their lives. Blaylock was so intrigued by the couple that he spent years researching them. He didn't want to give too much away for the people that will be attending his talk on Sunday, but I'll go ahead and let him tell you how the duo met.
She was a barmaid, and he was in prison. And so when he got out of prison, one of his buddies there said, "Go by and see my girlfriend." He said, "I'm in for 200 years, and said, "Why don't you just go by and see her?" And when he did, they just hit it off exactly right. And in just a few days, she stopped her barmaid and went with Clyde on wherever he was doing at that particular time, whether it was robbing grocery stores or robbing banks or whatever it happened to be. And so Clyde, there was a word that he just didn't care for, W-O-R-K.
He's passionate about his stories, and at 92, Blaylock doesn't look a day over 75 and as sharp as a tack. In a large cowboy hat and boots, he manages around the historic house just fine on his own. He says he's participating in the Chronicles series to draw attention to this house and to the stories of the area.
To see this, and then if we have somebody else later on, they'll get more people knowing what's here in Van Buren. I didn't know it was up here, and I was just right down under the hill there until the last 10 years, and with some of the former owners that I knew, one of the sons. And I like to tell things that just like it happened. You can hear so many things. Now, with Bonnie and Clyde, after they had the shootout with the marshal there in town, they got in the marshal's car.
Blaylock will be speaking on many other topics in the future. And his secret to a long, healthy life? Staying positive.
From earlier this year, this is a special edition of Ozarks at Large, where we hear some of our favorite things from 2013 once again. A couple of questions that my colleagues here in the Furman Garner Performance Studio will be answering at the end of this program. What would you like us to do more of, better of, less of on the show in the rest of 2014? And if you had a month's time, pay, and paid assistant, what one story would you like to work on? We'll hear the answers to those in a little bit. We've talked about a 100-year-old man, a gentleman in his 90s. I had the opportunity to spend part of an afternoon with Bob Doro. Bob is, gosh, he's in his 90s now. He, of course, an Arkansas native, born in Cherry Hill, lived in Little Rock for a while, best known for writing the music for Schoolhouse Rocks. He came to Fayetteville for a concert, and it just so happened that at the same time he was doing that concert, Trike Theater was doing a musical with the words and music he'd written, unbeknownst. In fact, it was just days before when Robert Ginsburg from the North Arkansas Jazz Society and Trike Theater realized this. So they had this amazing collaboration.
Welcome. We're so glad you're here, Bob. My name is Julie Gable. Nice to meet you. Glad to have you here. Hi.
Last Friday afternoon, a summer camp session of Trike Theater was wrapping up at Nadine Baum Studios in Fayetteville. About a dozen young actors were getting ready to sing their way through a production of Schoolhouse Rock for their parents, the musical they had been working on for the past several days. Since most of the young performers appeared to be under the age of 15, it's a safe assumption their parents grew up watching the Schoolhouse Rock songs about multiplication, civics, science, and language as well. Like Conjunction Junction, here in a final dress rehearsal before the performance on Friday. In 1973, the Schoolhouse Rock songs began airing on network television. They taught millions of baby boomers and their younger siblings and their children and perhaps their grandchildren how to remember their multiplication tables. That the songs still resonate with kids 40 years later is a testimony to the timelessness of the music. Now, here's the wonderful coincidence of last Friday. In town that very day was the man who wrote most of the memorable Schoolhouse Rock songs, Bob Doro. When Trike Theater selected the show for their camp, they had no idea he was going to be scheduled to be here. Nor did the concert promoters know that Trike Theater had been licensed to present the music. Everybody concerned only did find out about 48 hours before this rehearsal. What are the odds? Somebody asked. But there, sitting in the front row, was Bob Doro. He's 80 years older than some of the children on stage, but the songs he wrote are some of their favorites. As the kids were singing it, just a few feet away, he was beaming, bouncing up and down and mimicking their choreography, singing along. During his nearly hour-long visit with the Trike Theater cast, he answered their questions, like if Schoolhouse Rock was his idea.
No, my boss, he thought of it, and he had money to give me. So when I wrote three, he loved it, and he...
What instruments do you play? What instruments do you play?
Piano, recorder. I used to play saxophone and clarinet. Not so much anymore.
What inspired you to make the songs?
Oh, well, just the chance to communicate with children. You know, it was supposed to be first it was just a recording, not a TV show. They wanted to make a record and give it to kids and pass it out to libraries and schools. And, you know, it seemed like a great opportunity for me to meet a lot of young people through the music.
How do you think we did in the songs that we performed?
Oh, man, you were great. You were great. He plays, he's the rocker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's Tom, that guy? He gets the main part in the play, right?
Yeah.
And you all had something great to do, and the chorus was good. The choreography was great.
Since Bob had heard his music translated by the Schoolhouse Rock cast, the suggestion was made that he sit down at a nearby electronic keyboard in the theater and play one of his songs for them.
And I'll do Figure Eight, because I love it. You want to hear Figure Eight?
Yeah.
The kids sat transfixed, some of them singing along as Bob performed with glee, a song more than four decades old that, yes, teaches how to multiply by eight, but also considers mortality, beauty, and joy. Little three-minute slices of genius, these Schoolhouse Rock songs. They've been covered by mainstream jazz musicians and alternative rock bands and continue to be played in schools. And it was apparent last Friday afternoon that Bob Dorr's music still has an impact on multiple generations.
It wasn't really a question, but I use those multiplication songs to learn my multiples.
She uses them. I learned them too. Yeah. Me too. Yeah, she
to
uses those
arithmetic.
Songs to learn multiplication tables.
Yes, they work.
Well, my dad couldn't be here today, but he wanted me to thank you for writing that song, I'm Just a Bill, because he never learned that, and he ended up becoming a political scientist. So.
Wow.
Lots of people are learning how our government works
sure,
through that
exactly.
song.
Sure, exactly.
Bob also treated the youngsters to I'm Just a Bill, and after that, he asked if he could hear one more song before he left.
Want to do one more for me?
The cast picked that first ever Schoolhouse Rock song that Bob wrote, Three is a Magic Number, and Bob Dorr again took a front row seat and was obviously having a head-bobbing good time.
You hit three as a magic number. The past and the present and the future, faith and hope and charity.
And it wasn't just the young members of the cast excited about the visit either. Sarah Lear, managing director of Trike Theater, was tapping her toes to the music as well.
So it's just one of those things about Northwest Arkansas, and I think it's one of those, it's a beautiful thing about this area, I really think, honestly, is that you have incredible musicians coming through all the time, and then you have a summer production camp about Schoolhouse Rock, and the composer is here. And what I think is beautiful about just watching him with our students is that the teachers, you know, Miss Julie Gable, very excited to meet Bob Dorr. I'm very excited to meet Bob Dorr. You know, it's the span of ages. And so we have 8-year-olds who are jumping out of their seat to meet him. And then you have not so 8-year-olds who are also very excited to meet him. And so what a testament to his music that it really appeals to all of these ages. It's timeless. Education is timeless. And learning through music is just a beautiful way to do it.
I'm so proud.
Yay!
A couple of postscripts to this story. Trike Theater Summer isn't finished. The company's Summer Youth Musical is later this month, July 26th at 7 p.m. and July 27th at 2 in the afternoon at Arend Arts Center in Bentonville. This year's production is Annie Jr.
What we do is the camp is about teaching them all kinds of theater skills, a little bit of tech or a little bit of costuming. They did stage makeup yesterday. I showed up and I saw all kinds of fake bruises and fake blood everywhere, but they get a little bit of taste of everything, not just the production. At the end, you have this great product, but you get a little bit of everything.
That was Sarah Lear, managing director of Trike Theater. And finally, just what are the odds that something like Bob Doro's visit could happen on the exact day when Trike Theater's summer camp was presenting a show of his music, all of it just by chance? To find out exactly what the odds are, we asked for help.
I'm Brian Rickard, and I'm a math instructor at the University of Arkansas.
I gave Brian a couple of numbers to work with, that Bob Doro has been to Northwest Arkansas just a couple of times during his career for a total of no more than a few days. Then I estimated the number of scripts that can be produced by a young cast, counting Shakespeare, Dickens, Disney, all the others, around 500,000.
Well, so what we do from there, since we're assuming these two events are independent, then we look at the probabilities of each event happening, the probability of his script being chosen, and the probability of him being in town on this particular for this particular time period. Since these events are independent, we simply find the probabilities and multiply them together, and then figure out the odds from there.
Okay, my guess is it's at least one in a million shot.
Yes, it is. It is at least that much. In fact, quite higher. The actual odds are 1 in 270,893,750.
So there you have it. Mathematical proof that Bob Doro's visit with the young cast members of Trike Theater was likely a once-in-a-lifetime event.
Unless they're going to live another 271 million days.
That was from earlier this year when Bob Doro was in town. This is a special edition of Ozarks at Large. Some of our favorite sound stories and features from 2013. Now, John Legend, Antoinette, is not near 100.
No, he's not.
But he was here.
He was. One of the great things about being so close to the University of Arkansas is they often have some really interesting speakers come through, and part of their distinguished lecture series this year included a conversation with John Legend, conversation slash performance. But prior to the event, they did have a press conference, which was fun because there were hardly anybody was there. So basically, you're having this one-on-one conversation with him. But he was really interesting to listen to because he is a talented, you know, Grammy Award-winning musician. But his sort of philanthropic topic of choice is education, you know, because he had been homeschooled and his parents had always talked about how important education was. So it was really interesting to hear him talk about something other than his music and his passion for education.
Last night, John Legend, a Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter, spoke at Barnhill Arena as part of the University of Arkansas's Distinguished Lecture Series. Legend, whose given name is John Rogers Stevens, has sold millions of albums worldwide during the past decade. And although he is an accomplished musician, he is also a social activist. Prior to his public lecture, he spoke to media about his decision to focus on the issue of education as part of his philanthropic endeavors. Legend says he grew up in a household where education was a high priority. His parents homeschooled him for several years, and Legend says his parents really believed that education was critical. So they spent a lot of personal time and energy trying to prepare him best for life. Legend says even after his parents divorced, the foundation that they set up helped carry him through high school, where he was one of the top students in his class. After graduation, he attended the University of Pennsylvania, an Ivy League school.
I definitely credit my parents for placing that emphasis, early on in my life and helping set me up to be successful in school. But I also went to a public school from 8th through 12th grade, and my high school, only about half the kids graduated from high school on time. I talk about that in my speech, and I didn't really even realize it when I was there, how much smaller the class got from freshman year to senior year. I just kind of figured, oh, they must have gone to another school or something. I didn't really realize that a lot of people were just dropping out of school. And this is an issue in a lot of schools around the country. And if that's happening, we know that those young people are not going to be prepared for all the challenges that life gives them. They won't have a lot of options for their future. A lot of them get caught up in the criminal justice system. Some of my peers and some of my kids in my neighborhood and family members did that and got locked up for various reasons. And all of these things happen in part due to the fact that people's options are limited when their education does not prepare them for success. And so I care about that, and I want that to be something we focus on as a society. And so that's why I focus on this issue.
While Legend's music career has given him a platform to reach a lot of people, he says change can come from an individual.
I think solving the overall problem will take a lot of people, but I've seen a lot of big change happen from individuals that were willing to do things that were bold. I look at friends and colleagues of mine like Wendy Kopp, who founded Teach for America, who decided when she was in college, wrote about it in college as her senior thesis that something like Teach for America should be founded, and then she went out and did it. This is somebody who was an individual in college, the same age as a lot of the kids that will be here today, who decided to do something big and exciting. I met people who decided maybe a little later in life but have made a big change in people's lives because they decided to commit to this subject. People who have founded schools, people who have fought for change in school districts, and every person that's doing that is affecting dozens of kids and making communities better. And so I think that's a great thing. And if I encourage anybody to do that today, then it will be, you know, moving the ball forward.
Legend says there are a lot of things that need to be done to help improve education, such as making strong pre-K programs available for all kids. Legend says this could help narrow the gap between rich and poor when it comes to educational outcomes. He cited a recent article in the New York Times that shows how the gap between rich and poor students has grown in the last 30 years.
A lot of that has to do with the fact that rich parents have way more access to the kinds of things that help their kids be better prepared to be successful in school and to be successful in life. And those advantages have grown over time. And only way that we can close that gap is if we start to look at what's working for kids that have more means and then deciding as a society that we can do more to close that gap. One of those issues is making sure there's pre-K, finding options for daycare for parents so that they have the ability to spend so that their kids have more adult supervision and more quality time with adults. But also we need to make sure that we empower our principals and our superintendents to make sure that every classroom and every school has quality teachers in every classroom. And that takes some policy changes as well. Up and down the system, we need to figure out what's working and what's not working, how do we fix it, and not be afraid to go in there and fix it. Because I think what we've gotten stuck doing is kind of adhering to the status quo on so many issues when the status quo is so clearly not working out for so many people.
The Distinguished Lecture Series speakers are chosen by a committee of students, faculty, and staff. The events are funded by a student-approved fee appropriated by the Programs Allocation Board. More information is available at uark.edu.
John Legend during one of his visits to Northwest Arkansas this year, because then he came back, right?
He did. He came back for the Walmart shareholders.
Shareholders, which Timothy and I covered, we saw John Legend. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So half this room spent time with John Legend this year.
Yeah.
That's right.
The rest
last
of us.
Year.
Last year. Last year.
2013.
Next week.
Right. Absolutely. Water Liars were here in 2013, Katie.
A couple times.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, they come through quite a bit. They're based just outside of Oxford, Mississippi. So they come through here, like to play shows. They always get a good crowd, but it's a duo, and I love bringing duos in, but especially one of them who doesn't get to play the piano so often when they play live because no one has a piano. He's usually on the drums. Well, he got to play the nice grand piano we have here. So they played set with the full piano, and it was very beautiful.
Wyoming, a lot of people feel like that's a pretty dark song, and I would agree with that. It's about a lot of things. I don't ever want to tell people what songs mean to me because I feel like that ruins it for everyone else. Like, it definitely means things to me. And that song's about a few different things, and both real and fictional. I kind of like to let that one lie. This is Wyoming.
That's the Mary Baker Rumsey Piano inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio here at the Carver Center for Public Radio. And before we end this week of favorite stories, Christina, you had one that kind of encapsulated, well, the idea was to encapsulate Ozarks at large.
Exactly. I think this was in the fall of 2012. We were going to an event, most of the staff here across the street at the Fayetteville Public Library, and they had a signature cocktail for this event. And you and I got to talking, Kyle, about wouldn't it be cool if Ozarks at large had a signature cocktail? And then I continued to think about it, and wouldn't it be cool if Ozarks at large had a signature dish? Ella's restaurant at the Inn at Carnal Hall is one of my favorite places to go for brunch. And the chef, well, he was the executive chef. He's since moved to Crystal Bridges, Bill Lyle. I know he's a fan of the show. And he just had really wonderful things to say about Ozarks at large. And I really thought that the dish that was inspired by Ozarks at large was also equally great.
What is Ozarks at large to us? You know, for us, it's relaxing to listen to Ozarks at large. It's just easy news, non-biased, of course, and it's all inclusive. It seems like you guys use the whole team down there for Ozarks at Large. So as far as just relaxing, easy listening, I've started thinking about comfort food. And as far as all inclusive, this is a brunch item that's pretty original to us. I've never seen it before, and it uses almost my entire staff. You know, it starts with my pastry chef and different aspects of the line. It'll go from the grill all the way down to saute as far as the items that we put into this cup. So I kind of thought that was representative of Ozarks at Large, as in the entire staff is involved in creating this dish.
I like it.
Cool.
Okay.
You ready to cook?
Yeah.
All right.
The all-inclusive kitchen quiche cup experience begins with Cody, Ellis pastry chef, who has prepared a quiche dough with sour cream to make the crust fluffy and crispy. Bill takes a handful of the dough and rolls it out, thin, to about the size of a salad plate, literally. He uses one to make sure the dough is just the right size. He then takes an extra large muffin tin, two of them. But the rolled out dough isn't going on the inside. Bill sprays the bottom of one tin with nonstick oil, wrapping the dough around the cup, then placing it inside the second tin. The crust for our quiche cup heads to the oven. While that bakes, Chef Bill preps the ingredients for the fill of the cups.
First things first, let's shred a potato into some cold water and let's rinse the starch off a little bit. Let it sit for 10 minutes. Okay, so I'm going to take just a regular russet potato, I'm going to peel it, shred it for our hash browns, and this will be the very first level or layer in our quiche cup.
While the potatoes soak, Chef Bill preps the other ingredients. Keeping it Ozarks, most of them were found regionally.
My eggs will be from Cedar Creek Farms, as well as my uncured bacon. And my mushrooms are from Sweden Creek Farms. And our flour for the quiche dough is from War Eagle Mill.
While he's talking, he's running around the kitchen.
And we got a couple other local ingredients here. But as far as produce, there's only so much available right now. I actually bought the bacon and some of my produce here at the Wren Thicket Market, which is a nice little winter market here in Fayetteville. So we'll do a little bit of vegetables.
Even the cheese for the dish, because of course it has to have cheese, it's brunch. Even the cheese is made locally in Little Rock, using all Arkansas ingredients. Bill shreds this cheddar habanero. He then moves to sharpen his knife for slicing the vegetables. After sharpening his knife, he begins to slice or julienne the red and green bell peppers, purple onion, and shiitake mushrooms into long, thin pieces. And then he prepares a hollandaise, though it won't be needed until the product is finished. With so few ingredients, making a decent hollandaise is tricky business, at least for me. But Chef Bill is a pro. He uses both white wine vinegar and lemon juice. A lot of people use one or the other. He reduces the vinegar and melts some butter to the perfect temperature so that the sauce sets correctly. Two egg yolks, cayenne, salt, and then puts this in a double boiler. He slowly pours in sugar, whisking it together. Setting it aside for later use, but making sure it stays the right temperature as to not separate. Ella's prep kitchen is downstairs. Ingredients are carried upstairs for the final rounds of the cooking process. But not before Bill pulls the baked quiche cup from the oven.
The quiche cup is a perfectly round, nice cup-shaped pastry, which is perfect for, you can put anything in it. And my favorite part about it is that it's all the best parts of the quiche, minus the quiche.
He grabs the bacon, shredded potatoes, sliced veggies, hollandaise, eggs, and cheese, and heads upstairs, carefully balancing these elements on a silver tray. And he begins to cook.
All right, let's throw the bacon down on the flat top.
little bit of salt and pepper on it.
After removing excess water from the potatoes, he tosses them into a pan of hot bacon grease, allowing them to fry and crisp up. The sliced veggies go into an aluminum pan, along with a bit of garlic, not cooking them long so that they remain al dente.
We're actually going to start building our quiche cup now. We're going to layer in, we're going to put the potatoes in first, the very bottom, and then I like to put a little bit of cheese over those, kind of press them in there, and we'll put the vegetable mixture on top of that. A lot of veggies. And next we'll cut our bacon in half so it'll fit in there. And then I will top that with the rest of the cheese. We've got potatoes, cheese, veggies, bacon, cheese. And we'll put that in the oven for about 5 minutes so the cheese melt.
While that's in the oven, he cooks one egg sunny side up. Bill's trick to cooking the perfect sunny side up egg is to put it in cold oil, then put it on the heat. Start on high heat, turning it to low to let it cook through without having to flip it over. We're almost finished, but not quite. The plate, of course, has to look pretty. Bill takes a square white plate and prepares to garnish. He deep fries some basil leaves. Yep, deep fried basil leaves. He takes two cherry tomatoes, slices them on the bottom so that they stand up straight, placing another slice on the top for the basil leaf to fit right in. The plate also holds a small ceramic ramekin filled with the creamy yellow hollandaise that we made earlier. He pulls the cup from the oven.
The cup is filled all the way to the top. Let's just slide the sunny side up egg on top. And there we go.
Awesome.
Ozarks at Large inspired breakfast dish. And this is will actually be going on to my brunch menu here at Ella's Restaurant. It'll be on the menu every Sunday morning, and we'll probably run it for the next few months. So thank you for the inspiration.
And to eat this beautiful Ozarky quiche cup, Bill suggests slicing it right down the middle, revealing all of the tasty layers. And get a forkful of everything. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Christina Thomas.
An Ozarks at Large quiche.
Cup.
Quiche cup.
Quiche cup. Mm-hmm. Okay. An Ozarks at Large quiche cup. That's fun to say.
I actually went with you, Christina, to Ella's, and I will say that that quiche cup was absolutely delicious.
That's right. Tim filmed it for the web.
Now I'm hungry.
In a moment, we're going to hear music from Carter Sampson that was recorded inside the Furman Garner Performance Studio. You're shaking your head. You knew I would play some Carter Sampson, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I enjoyed her visit very much. I want to just cover a couple of things before we answer the questions that I posed to you at the beginning of this program. This year, we launched a couple of series that have been fun to do where we've gone to spaces that listeners can't always get to, and we're going to continue that in 2014.
Mm-hmm.
And we've also spent some time finding out the origins of names in the area.
Right, where things come from. And food. I am a fan of food, as we heard with the quiche cup story. And we also do a monthly series on food that's made in the
area. I'm also really proud of our locally made series.
Made, I like that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We get to talk to different folks around here making things locally, canoes and
crafts, furniture,
and clothing,
signs, and
all sorts of things.
We also, I think every Friday in 2013 had music that was recorded either inside Furman Garner or in the building. And I'm proud of that. Also, want to thank everyone who worked with KUAF and Ozarks at Large this year for special programs. Fayetteville Public Library, mm-hmm. Crystal Bridges, the folks at the Roots Festival. We often talk about what we do with a small staff. The Roots Festival? Are you kidding me? I mean, there's hardly anybody there, and they pull off a citywide festival. So thanks. Who I know I'm forgetting.
Artisphere Festival Orchestra.
The Artisphere mm-hmm. Festival Orchestra,
so
Walton
Art Center.
Mm-hmm. Thanks everyone who's done that. We bid goodbye to Molly Ron and Doyle Garner, mm-hmm. who had been with us for a while. Molly now at the Amazium. Doyle now out catching
West.
Rays in San Diego.
Our station mm-hmm. engineer who kept us on the air through thick and thin, snow, ice, sleet, hail, wind.
And they left us, and we appreciate everything they did for us as well. We all, of course, thank our listeners
mm-hmm.
who make it all possible very much. Now, question number one. You have a month's time. You have a month's pay. You have a full-time assistant to help you. You can work on one story in this 31-day month. What one story, if there is one, would you want to work on? Anyone have an idea? Go ahead, Christina.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it would actually take a whole month to do.
Well, then you'd have some time off at the end.
The only thing that can come to mind is, you know, as a child, I was always really intrigued and inspired by the Cirque du Soleil performances, which is sort of the French, you know, acrobatic sort of circus thing. I think it would be fun to go to France and learn how to do some of those crazy things. I don't think I'm flexible enough to do some of the things that these acrobats do, but maybe trapeze or, I don't know, something like that.
She could pull it off. She's got the total yoga thing going on.
And she jumped out of a plane in 2013. So any other ambitious projects? Jackie?
Last year I talked about going to the Marshall Islands. I haven't made it there yet. I really need to go there. But I think I would like to spend time in Cuba.
Oh, yeah.
We have incredible relations between our state and their state. We have I just discovered 127 Cubans living in Fort Smith. I plan on reporting that in 2013.
You know.
Getting down there.
2014.
Thank you for making me feel better.
I was thinking next year, 2014.
This year. It's easier than ever to get to Cuba, especially if you have an educational component. I've actually had a conversation with someone who might be able to help you do this.
Very good.
Okay. All right. We're getting Christina in France. We're getting Jackie in Cuba. You can't go at the same time, guys. Sorry. No. Any others?
I want to be on Willie Nelson's bus for a month and report on what actually happened.
Yay!
I know Jackie's been on the bus before.
Yep. Never mind. I'm just not sure you'd be able to report after being on a month.
He would never make his way back. Yeah.
I wouldn't even know where I was at the end of the month.
Don't think so. It would be fun, though. Yes. Katie?
I'd have to say that I would love to just go deep with Joan Didion. She's one of my favorite journalists, and she's old now, and I love people who really spend a lot of time with someone to get to know them and have a really in-depth profile. So I'd love to just spend a month with Joan Didion and really discover who she is.
Antoinette?
You know, Ithi did this kind of in-depth, Ithiani Hodimadokar, who used to work here, did this in-depth series on poverty, I think specific to Arkansas. I think I would like to do something along those lines, some sort of socioeconomic series. I don't know exactly the specific, but, you know, homeless or poverty for maybe poverty for children, or maybe even hunger. Hunger is a really big issue right now, particularly for children. But something like that, and probably specific to Arkansas, because this is the place where I live, and, you know, it would be great for Ozarks at large. So maybe like a hunger series or something. Oh.
I have learned, I know this isn't the question I asked, I have learned to always hire people who are more ambitious than you, because then they do great things while you're... My idea is to do a connection of everything that's happened in our listening area. So, you know, you were talking about Bonnie and Clyde earlier, but what if you could connect in a timeline everything from, you know, start with the indigenous people here, start with, what is it over by Poto, the site over by Poto? The Spiral Mounds.
Yeah.
Start with the Spiral Mounds and take it all the way through Bonnie and Clyde and Carrie Nation and Sam Walton. You know, and get it all the way to the top. And wouldn't that be fun to try to do in a week's time of shows and
the
just
Ozarks
connect them all?
Large chart.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know.
That's still pretty ambitious.
Okay. All right. That would be fun. Now, any resolutions for what you'd like us, the six of us in here and our contributors, to do more of, less of, something that we've never tried before? Tim, you're chomping at the bit. You're ready to say something.
It's going to be a broken record. You know what I'm going to say. More live shows.
And okay. All right. I actually went to you in the spring and said, let's do one. You got it ready. And then I left the country.
Right.
But this year, I will not be leaving. I don't think I'll be leaving
the
country.
I'm going to hold you, too.
Okay. All right. So more live shows. Anything else?
I would just, personally, for me, I would just like, I loved going to 21C and reporting from outside of the studio. I've done a lot of things in the studio, but going out in the field is really awesome. So personally, I would love to do more of that.
I would like to do more of that, too. We've made some changes that, you know, are sort of in-house changes that we still have as much time to fill as we've always had, but because of the way we did it, we want to get more different voices. We don't want to concentrate on all the same things. I felt that this year I didn't get out of the studio as much as I wanted to, and so I want to be able to do that. So I guess planning further ahead, but that's been my goal for some time.
I was going to say, we've been trying to do that for 2013.
Eight-day weeks, that's what we need.
Yeah, I think just... I think I'd like to continue really pushing on getting different voices, just because we have such an interesting area that we live in, and we cover such a wide range, wide swath of the population in Arkansas, that I think there are a lot of people that we haven't spoken to who have great stories to share that we just haven't met yet. And so I would like to keep talking to just different people. I mean, I know we've talked about, we run into the problem that, you know, not a problem, but we run into the issue that if somebody is involved in something, they're probably involved in a bunch of things, and they're excellent, you know, they're very well spoken and they're very involved. And so you often talk to the same group of people over and over again, which isn't a bad thing. But, you know, as Ozarks at large, I feel like we should get to, you know, as many people, different people as we can.
Right. And different subjects.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other resolutions? Any other hopes, dreams?
Yeah, we just do too much crime, murder, fire. We really have to get away from that.
We need more happy-go-lucky stories.
Well put. Christina, anything?
I can't come up with anything.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. Being on this end of the questions is sometimes difficult.
Right.
You know, trying to answer the questions.
Your brain doesn't work that way anymore.
It really doesn't.
It just comes up with questions and mm-hmm. not so much the answer.
Right.
So if somebody asks me a question, I'm like, wait, what?
Mm-hmm.
Which I brought up to somebody this summer. We were talking about how long Ozarks at Large has been on the air. It's been on the air a while. I've been the producer for nearly 24 years. Mm-hmm. And this person suggested, because we're trying to think of something we can do for the 25th year of Ozarks at Large, which will be it'll happen in March of 2015 we turn 25 as a news magazine. And he said, you know what would be interesting is have other people interview everyone who's on the staff.
Oh, I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
That's exactly the answer I get. I don't know how I feel about that. We've got till March 2015 to think about that.
Okay.
All right.
And get my answers ready.
And I know why Christina couldn't come up with that. This is a great show. It is balanced, and Kyle, you do an extraordinary job bringing that balance of politics, culture, business, education, music, arts to everybody every day. Thank you.
It's a team effort, and the team is beyond these walls. I think it's fair to say it's everybody else in this building and so many people.
Beyond.
Yeah. All right. Ozarks at Large, a production of KUAF. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Christina Thomas.
I'm Katie Henriksen.
Jackie Froelich.
Timothy Dennis.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
Thanks so much for listening. A bunch of new voices and topics beginning on the show on Monday.
Sun comes up over a dirty skyline, and I got you on my mind. My head hurts, my heart aches. Guess I'm running out of time. So, baby, will you see me? Or are you already gone? Send me. Somewhere I don't belong.